So this morning I'd like to share with you, we were going to be starting Renew Together, or Prayer and Self-Denial, but due to unforeseen circumstances, as in Arotahi unable to sort of get out the material because of cyclone stuff, I thought I'd share something with you about my adventure, about my Tua Aotearoa adventure. In particular, how I realised while I was about a week in that this crazy thing I was doing, and I have been called crazy already this morning, that I was doing was quite similar to my life in general. So sabbaticals are supposed to be about rest and rejuvenation, right? About learning and refilling oneself with goodness in order to be thriving, in order for thriving to happen in the individual, in the household, in the workplace. So how would a goal to ride these 3,000 Ks over 21 days, including a rest day, how would that help thriving happen? You may wonder. So for me, a big attraction was the active sort of rest sort of thing. Doing something active whilst having a lot of time to refresh mentally and emotionally and think and dream and pray. And I had goals. Start with a couple of shorter, easier days to build into the ride. Like stay at Ahipara at the bottom of 90 Mile Beach on the first day, because you never know how hard that beach section is going to be. And then I plan to build up the kilometres from about 110 to about 160 a day and finish in 21 days with one rest day included in that. It was a good plan. It was based on expert Lance Pilbrow advice. So with Cyclone Gabrielle hitting, my start date changed in the night before I started. I changed the plan. After catching a shuttle van up to Cape Reinga with six other riders, I camped at Taupotuportu Bay, 5 steep kilometres from Cape Reinga. That day, the Friday start group is already written into Tua Aotearoa folklore for the brutal, brutal headwinds we had for 84 kilometres along the open and relentless 90 Mile Beach. Lots of people pulled off the beach to camp. Some ran out of time on the hard sand as the tide came in and had to camp in the dunes. Fortunately, I'd made it to the end in the third group off the beach. I'd met up with the four riders who came off at the front, had some takeaways, and then decided to ride on for another 30 kilometres that evening to Broadwood. So when I turned up at about 10 p.m, there was space under this roadside shelter. Oh, thank you. For me. So that's where I slept on the first night. it probably is. Yeah, New Zealand company. It's a MacPack one. So those riders there aren't actually the riders that were ahead of me. They're the ones that they were staying there on their second night. The ones that were staying there, the ones that had ridden the same amount as me that day, they'd gone up and left already in the morning. So you're going to see a theme coming through here. So far the plan was working. I knew I had the strength to complete the plan, to make it to the ferry at Potor, the northern head of the Kaipara Harbour, by 7 a.m. the next day, Sunday the 19th of February. The particular challenge with this was that there was over 200 kilometres away and about 2,800 vertical metres of climbing away. So off I went with a heap of enthusiasm and a ton of internal drive to make that happen. And the ride was fantastic. 135 kilometres later, I caught the four speedsters again in Dargaville, where they were stopping for the night. Perhaps that should have been a clue for me. I was feeling good. Stuffed some Subway in me, set up my lights for a 4-hour night ride. I didn't make it to the ferry that night. At about 1 a.m. I stopped, decided to spend the night here. Yep, that's the side of a road. Not quite a ditch, it's just inside a farm's driveway. And that's my ground sheet that I placed under my sleeping bag and pulled up over me to avoid the dew. I slept from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. when my alarm went off. I was 15 kilometres from the ferry and soon rolled onto the beach to watch the sun rise. That one's a good one, eh? A little bit more appetizing than the others. So I made the goal. I'd pushed myself hard and now got to enjoy a cruisy harbour cruise, an easy-ish 30 kilometres into Auckland, and the whole afternoon and evening to hang out with my brother and sister-in-law and my two little nieces, which was why I changed my plan and goal to try to hang out with my nieces in particular a bit more, not being able to see them very often. So after the ferry, I had a quick bakery stop of a spring roll and chicken on a stick. Yum. What's not yum is 5 hours later, vomiting all that back up. Exhausted, I slept from 4 p.m. till 8 in the morning. Such grace was there that I was at my brother's and not anywhere else. So I've eventually come to see that there were probably both internal and external factors that led me to need 3 days to recover. Whilst it's easy to blame the external factors, the chicken, the internal factors, me pushing myself so hard, would no doubt have contributed to the slow recovery. My goals, that drive, the pushing hard when I was feeling good, which led to not stopping to rest earlier, were all really problematic. A big problem, too, was me not sticking to my plan. It had been carefully worked out according to what was likely to be needed. The realizations came soon after starting riding again that just like in real life, on this tour Aotearoa adventure, I was going to need to be much more careful and disciplined about managing my desire to work really hard and hit some lofty kilometre goals, whilst at the same time care about myself so that I wasn't miserable and unable to ride. So I decided that caring for myself needed to include sleeping with a degree of comfort, aiming for a proper bed, undercover, every second night. And if I wasn't in bed, actually to set up my tent properly at a decent time. Setting an alarm was another thing I needed to do to get going earlier in the morning to remove some of the stress that I felt of getting so many kilometres done later in the day. And nutrition was another thing I realised I needed to do a bit better, spending more dollars on food and better food to fuel the engine. The 1.5-litre Lime Primo and two pies that I had Saturday morning wasn't going to cut it. And continuing the plan of looking after the two most important body parts in endurance cycling, the butt, thankfully no issues, and the hands, because you don't want too much pressure on your hands if you're on your bike for about 10 hours a day. And so having a variety of hand positions is a huge help. So up here is my bike, or a bike, and I'm wondering if there might be any budding mechanics who would like to help set up my bike with some grips and some aero bars to help, I guess, illustrate or give multiple hand positions which can help look after the body to have the best chance of completing the event. So I've got some tools up here and a couple of things to slide on and a couple of things to tighten. And if anyone wants to have a go at that, you can even take the bike down the back if you want and have a go at putting some things on. Would anyone interested in doing that? Yeah, cool. Come on. Yeah, come on, Libby. Anyone else wants to? You can come and join. Where do you guys want to do it? So from when I started riding again, I did a lot better at caring for myself. I still managed to complete the tour in the 20 days of riding that I'd aimed for. But this wasn't easy at all for me. One particular day, I'd ridden into Whanganui and then on to Hunterville. I was tired after three big days and wanted to push on, but I knew that wasn't going to end well. With a tough 40 kilometres to the next town, nowhere booked to stay, and it being already after 6 p.m. So I pulled the plug, stayed in a little cabin, chilled out, contacted family, ate some food, washed gear, got myself ready for the next day. It was a hard decision to make. I was really surprised how hard that was for me to make that, just to stop and chill. But it was a really good decision. I'm really glad I did. And then I've got a little video of my next day after this decision to stop day, which I found really hard to make.
Hey. So, it's been a big day. It's been a really good day. ridden from Hunterville through to Ikatahuna, 186 kilometres from 7 a.m. through till, I'm just arriving now just after 6:30 p.m. So it's a tough first 40k, but I just paced myself really well, felt really good about that, and had a primo downhill run right into Ashurst, the lovely stop at a bakery at Kimbolton. Very grateful for a slight tailwind for a lot of the straight stuff, which is really cool. Been doing a really nice valley out from like Pahia Tua out to Ikatahuna, which has been really nice. It's like uphill, but just with the gradient, and just felt like quite flat, so it was quite nice. So yeah, feeling really good, really chuffed with how my legs are going, and how just the pacing of myself today. It's been really good. So yeah, hopefully Wellington is seeing Stephen and Pratika and Ali and Tiana tomorrow. See you.
Yeah, it's just a random little video I decided to make, and last night I thought, oh yeah, maybe I could use that. Yeah. So I've got a couple of bits of scripture that I'd like to share that I reflected on when writing that captures this tension that I just wrestled with for my whole trip between goals and pushing self and rest and stillness and recreating. From 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You know that many runners enter a race and only one of them wins the prize. So run to win. Athletes work hard to win a crown that cannot last, but we do it for a crown that will last forever. I don't run without a goal, and I don't box by beating my fists in the air. I keep my body under control and make it my slave, so I won't lose out after telling the good news to others. These words written by the Apostle Paul seem to be saying to work hard, don't they? To do our best, to aim for the top, to keep goals in mind, to keep our bodies disciplined and not treated very well. I know it can be easy to take on this mindset in life. Push hard, work hard, don't stop. And of course, there's always a problem with analogies or examples. They all have their limitations, don't they? Paul isn't trying to peddle some anti-self, anti-life, highly driven way of being. But he is encouraging his readers to keep the goal of knowing and loving Jesus in mind as we train ourselves to live well and do our best. And how do we hold these valuable words in tension or alongside how Jesus lived? Because in Luke chapter 5, we hear these regular words that we hear through the Gospels coming through again and again and again. And in Luke 5 it says, news about Jesus kept spreading. Large crowds came to listen to him teach and to be healed of their diseases. But Jesus would often go to some place where he could be alone and pray. In this little line, but Jesus would often go to some place where he could be alone and pray. It's easy to miss all that had been going on for Jesus leading up to this point. Just prior to this, he had met and healed a man with leprosy. He had been teaching crowds so large and demanding that he had to put a boat out onto the lake to talk from so that he didn't get swamped. He had dealt with some disciple disbelief. He'd been preaching in a synagogue, a Jewish place of worship, and he'd had his yesterday's attempt at getting away by himself for a bit hijacked by people desperate to meet him. In the hustle and bustle of life, even life without a phone, Jesus kept taking himself away to be still, to stop, to be alone, to pray. In this, he wasn't achieving any miracles or helping people or preparing his next teaching slot. He wasn't making his body a slave to win the race in the way I, or perhaps we, might interpret Paul's words. Living a Jesus-centered life seems to involve stillness and quiet and prayer. So there seems to be a bit of a clash here, doesn't there? Push yourself hard to do the best you can towards the goals and have a break, get away, pray, stop achieving. And of course, there's something true and good in all of these. And through battling with these two approaches in this sabbatical bike adventure, I started seeing afresh how much of a challenge these two realities are in my life in general. And of course, I haven't got this tensional balance right in the past, and I certainly don't have it nailed now, and I'm confident that this is something I'll probably struggle with for all my life. And yet in the midst of this tension between rest and work, reaching goals and self-care, pursuing the one good goal with total focus, as well as sitting quietly with Jesus doing nothing, God's grace covers all and holds all and makes something beautiful out of the mess. As I was writing, I occasionally put on an audiobook or music to listen to. Surrender by Bono was amazing, and I highly, highly recommend it. So I thought I'd share a song by these prophets. This one is from the album All That You Can't Leave Behind. It's called Grace.